just a week that you were just stunned. Just a week that you just felt like, you know, God, what is going on? I want to tell you a few things and hopefully bring a little clarity to this message tonight. I'm preaching on life is just a vapor. James 4:14. I get a call 5 minutes ago from my wife back home that says our son who's 16's girlfriend, who's 16, hit her head at a ball game and was unresponsive. And the band, I went back and shared with them and they prayed with me. And, you know, I thought to myself, Jake's dated her since the sixth grade. Sixth grade, he's a sophomore. He said the entire time he was going to marry her. And I'm just sitting over there thinking, God, if she dies, what am I going to do? I mean, he will be crushed. He will be brokenhearted. He will be gutted, empty. I mean, right before I came out here, I went to the doctor, the cardiologist. And I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what was wrong. And he told me that I have AFib, which is a very, very bad heart rate out of rhythm. And so he told me not to come to Missouri. You ever argued with your cardiologist? Doctors do not like to be told what to do. Amen? They don't like to be talked back to. I told him, I said, I'm going to Missouri. He said, you're very sick. He's Middle Eastern. You're very sick. You're a very sick man. You make me feel like you don't care what I say. I've not even got you written up and you're telling me you're going to Missouri. I said, well, I'm going to Missouri, so we can just agree to disagree. I said, I'm a Christian preacher, and I'm going out there to preach Christ, and God's going to take care of me. So he looked at me, and he said, well, when are you going to be back? He gave me some medicine. I'm on some medicine. Please continue to pray. I'm getting better every day. I could tell immediately Thursday night when I took the first dose that I could breathe a little, you know. And it's just new. It's recent. I've never experienced this before. My mom, I talked to my mom, 83 years old, Thursday before I came. She turned 83. And I talked to my mom, and she said, oh, yeah, I've got it. Your grandmother had it. Your uncle's had it. I said, Mom, you know, that'd be some really good news to lead with. You know, when you're going to your cardiologist and giving your family history, it'd be nice to know that, you know. So anyway, just be praying. I really hesitated to tell y'all that because I didn't want the rest of the messages for every time I, you know, got passionate or turned red, you'd be, oh, God, he's going to drop dead. He's going to die right here, you know. Well, what a beautiful place to die. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what a great place to go. I mean, what a story my kids can tell. My dad died preaching the gospel. Amen. I mean, I hope that's later, like in 30 years. But folks, I want you to turn in your Bibles to James 4:14. And I want you to stand with me as we honor God's word. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then in time vanishes away. Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you. Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you would just show up and show out in this service. Lord, I thank you for being with Emma and protecting her. I thank you, God, that even though she's got a severe concussion, Lord, she's okay. And God, I just praise you for that. And I thank you for that. Lord, right now, I just pray you would minister to each and every person here, no matter how young or how old. God, right now, just please remove any distractions. Lord, let each and every person focus for just the next few moments on you and who you are and what you want to do in their life. Lord, I pray right now that you would bind the enemy from this place. from any decision to be made. And Lord, I just pray that you would, Lord, touch down and intersect, Lord, at each and every person's need. Lord, I pray that if there's one here lost, you would draw them to yourself, and tonight would be the night of their salvation. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Folks, I want you to know, you can go to any cemetery, you can go to any graveyard, and you're going to see tombstones. And all those tombstones have things in common. They've got a beginning point, they've got an ending point, and then there's a dash. That dash represents your life. It represents the days of your life. The substance, the essence of who you were. See, the truth of the matter is each and every one of us are going to die. But when people come to our funeral, the preacher's going to stand up and say a few kind words, and he's going to use a few verses. But the truth of the matter is all the people that did life with us, people that hung out with us, our friends, our coworkers, they're going to be reviewing in a video of their mind who we really were. Like, in other words, we're leaving a legacy. Man, what's in your life really matters. There's three major choices that you've got to make. Number one, Jesus. If you don't get that right, you'll go to hell. Number two, who you marry. If you don't get that right, you'll live in hell. A couple weeks ago, I was in Kentucky, and this gentleman just real loud just screamed out, "Hey, man!" I thought, he is crazy. And then at the end of the service, he cleared it up. He said, "I wasn't amening to this one." He said, "I was talking about the one before." I said, "Well, sir, I'm glad you cleared that up. I thought you was about to get killed this afternoon. Amen." But you know, then the third thing is what you do for a living. You know, the funny thing is that people think that life is just going to last forever. Life expectancy is 76 years old. Most everybody here tonight is halfway there. Some are already on grace. Amen. Little man walked up one time, 90-something years old. He said, "I've been on grace a long time." You know, the truth is, we're all going to die. And we need to really think about what kind of legacy we're leaving. You know, you can look in the paper and, man, there's 60-something, 70-somethings, but there's 20-somethings. There's 30-somethings. There's teenagers, there's children, a two-year-old in a pool. I mean, that's real life. I remember had a deacon, and he came up to me and he said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you about something real serious." I said, "Okay." And I said, what's going on?" He said, "Well, my daughter's dating this boy, and she's pregnant. And the families have talked, and everybody agrees, and she's going to marry him. We're all going to help take care of the baby." I remember doing that wedding, man, and 15 years old. Man, that daddy, the song they used was "Butterfly Kisses," and he gave her away and just cried all the way to the seat. I remember when it came time for that baby to be due, man, I went up to the hospital and we waited. Me and my wife were going on a conference and we waited and we waited and we waited. And we got up there and man, everybody was so happy when that baby was born. They took that baby and just passed it around to everybody. It couldn't have been bigger smiles on the faces. A few weeks later, I got a call from that same deacon. He said, "Pastor, something's wrong with the baby. We're all up at T.C. Thompson's in Chattanooga. Can you get up there?" I said, "Yeah, man, I'll get up there." Man, we prayed all night. The next day, the grandmother was a prayer warrior. She was just right next to that bed and that little baby with tubes all in it, just rocking back and forth. And I knew what she was. She wasn't saying anything. She was just praying. And then that afternoon, they called in the family. Man, they told the family that there was nothing more they could do. Me and my wife just stood up against a glass wall there in the PICU. And those same people handed that same baby around for the very last time. And I just thought to myself, man, there's certain things in life that only God will do. God was the only one that could get them through that tragedy. And I watched that little girl stand at the end of that casket. Her and that husband. And shake every single hand of every single person that came to that funeral. And thank them for everything they had done to support and comfort their family. I watched grace. Listen, from heaven, this little girl had had a baby and lost a baby and was not even old enough to drive. Man, I want to tell you, life is just a vapor. A lot of times we need to realize, too, that we should appreciate our life. I had a deacon that walked in one day and he said, Pastor, you know what? I said, what? He said, I believe that when we get to heaven, God's going to ask us, what did you do with that life I gave you? How did you spend your time, your talent, your treasure? Folks, that's a good question for us to ask. You know, being a Christian, saying that you're a Christian, there should be evidence. There ought to be enough evidence by people looking at your life. There ought to be enough evidence, people looking at your life, that would convict you in a court of law that you're a Christian. And you know one thing that should be very evident from a Christian? Is joy. Man, what's happened to our joy in the church? People come in looking like a wrinkled up Shar Pei puppy. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm good. I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. You feel like saying, well, notify your face. Folks, listen, we should have a smile on our face. We should have joy exuding out. We ought to be praising Him. Man, we shouldn't be sitting there in the middle of praise and looking like we just sucked a lemon. Amen? You know, a lot of people have serious and spiritual confused. They can have a good time at Walmart, at the ball field. And man, they come up to the church, and as soon as they drive on the property, it's like they sucked a lemon. Folks, listen, God's got a sense of humor. You don't believe it? Look in the mirror. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, listen, it's okay to have fun in church. There are a lot of people just terminally serious. Man, we need to have our joy. Some of you tonight, you need to get in this altar and pray, God, give me my joy back. I'm tired of being a burden. I want to be a blessing. God, once again, fill my heart, fill my life with your joy. God, bind the devil from coming against me. You know it's okay to pray for yourself, amen? Sometimes I think one of the problems is we're blaming the devil for stuff, and the devil's sitting over there going, hey, it wasn't me. Folks, you know one of the biggest enemies that we have, we're looking at in the mirror when we wake up? You ever noticed how people get mad and upset in a church over the dumbest things? I mean, you'll take somebody and she'll just be sitting there going, I just don't know. I'm so hurt. I don't think I'm ever going down to that church again. Well, honey, what'd they do to you? They didn't put me on the finance committee. Well, honey, you're in bankruptcy. Oh, I'm just so hurt. I don't think I can take it anymore. They've just done it to me. Well, what's wrong? They didn't ask me to sing. We've heard you. Amen. We want to grow the church. Amen. Folks, you know, my kids, on the second one, who you marry. My kids, I've been praying since they were little children, since they were babies, who they will marry. Praying God, send them somebody awesome. Send them a great Christian. Send them somebody that's going to love them. Have a long, just an incredible love affair. And, you know, just an incredible love story. And just an awesome, awesome marriage. Storybook marriage. I remember my girls. Got three girls, one 22, one 19, and one 13. And I remember when they were little. They'd get in the car and I had this game I played with them. It was called Dream Man. And I'd give them 30 seconds to give me all the characteristics of their dream man. And they'd start out with something like this. Oh, he's good looking. He's funny. My Kenzie, my middle daughter, you know, he's rich. And then we got into what was really important. Listen, we got into what was really important. See, he was a Christian. Because if he didn't love God like he ought to, he wasn't going to love her like he ought to. And that he loved her. Really, really loved her. Because can I tell you something? You can't marry for beauty. There's 100 pounds of me my wife ain't married to. Amen? I'm either going to have to get on a diet or you know, we're going to have enough service and make it legal. Amen? But folks, the truth of the matter is, listen, beauty fades. But true love doesn't. Listen, when you really, really love somebody, listen, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. What's the one about money? That's the hard one for everybody. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You've got to love them if you're poor. You've got to love them if they're sick. If you're at the hospital with cancer, sitting beside their hospital bed, that's the kind of love you want to have for somebody. On what you do for a living. You know, there's more than just a job. A J-O-B. You work for an hour and they give you some compensation. You get a little training and you start a career. And then past the career is a call. God made you. Fearfully and wonderfully, uniquely made you in your mama's womb to do something. He made me to be an evangelist. He formed me in my mama's womb to be an evangelist. Man, I'm doing what God made me to do. And I love it. You know what's wrong in the church? We got people that's not doing nothing. God did not save you to sit and sour. He saved you to serve. I remember when I pastored, we had a spiritual gifts test. And we had each and every one of the columns in the church, we had with the poster of the gift. And we said, the gift that you scored highest in, we want you to go to that column. And we found out two things. We found out, number one, God had placed somebody there at each column. So everything we needed was right there. And then some people were shocked at what their gift was. They were working outside the area of giftedness. Can I tell you something? That will frustrate you. That will burn you out. That will make you want to quit. But when you get in your lane, man, listen, it's not even like a job. It's a joy. You know what? You don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. You don't have to praise. You get to praise. You don't have to serve, you get to serve. Man, you're just excited about it. Because you're doing what God created you to do. You're not going against the flow. The most important thing that you can do, five times this morning at Upward, I presented the gospel to a different group every single time. I used John 3:16. John 3:16 basically sums up the entire Bible. It's the most famous verse ever. And it just basically tells about the love of God. God's love story to us. That He sent the greatest gift ever in His Son Jesus. I remember getting a call when I was pastoring. I got a call from a music minister. He said, "Man, there's been a terrible accident down on the bypass. Your friend Dudley was in the accident." Man, Dudley was one of my best friends. He was our high school's first black quarterback. That was a big deal in the Deep South, you know, late 70s, early 80s. Dudley had an incredible smile. He reached across racial and social economic lines. He was in my wedding. He was in Beirut, Lebanon in the early 80s. 256 Marines lost their life. Hezbollah, the terrorist organization, blew the embassy up. For 2 weeks, they didn't know if he was alive or dead. Finally, they found out that he was alive, and he flew into Chattanooga, Tennessee. Man, the media from every single outlet in Chattanooga was there. Surrounding outlets were there. His family was there. Man, we were so close that he rode home with me. When I got up there, it was just a little while, and they pronounced my friend dead. And I remember walking out of the hospital with his dad. His dad put that big old giant arm up around me and said the words I'd heard just a few years before at my ordination. He said, "Well, at least I got one son left." At my ordination, he was a deacon at a sister church, and he laid hands on me and he said, "Lord, this my other son, would you use him? Would you bless him?" Man, I knew he was going to ask me to do the funeral, first funeral I'd ever done, funeral of a friend. I went home and I began to write. And I'd cry and I'd write and I'd cry. And that next morning when I stood up to do that funeral, the first funeral I'd ever done, you could have heard a pin drop. Because his mother, unannounced to anybody, draped over that coffin of that dead son. And she sang a cappella, "His Eyes on the Sparrow." I stood up and told that church that day, I said, "I want you to know something. The devil's going to get no credit here today because Dudley was saved." I remember looking at Dudley one morning and I said, "Dudley, do you know for sure if you died you'd go to heaven?" He said, "No, B, but I want to." I said, "Dudley, Jesus loved you so much that he stepped out of the splendor and glory of heaven. He was born of a virgin via the Virgin Mary. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. And he went to that cross. Listen, on the way to that cross, he had a crown of thorns the size of my little finger shoved down in his head. Had his back beat completely off. Was spit on, was mocked. But listen, on that cross, nailed to that cross, he took on my sin, your sin, and the sin of the world. And I said, he gave up his life. Nobody took it. And they placed him in an old barred tomb. And on the third day, he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I said, "How's that sound to you?" He said, "It sounds great." I said, "Would you like to pray and ask him in your heart?" He said, "I sure would." And he bowed that morning in that fitness studio parking lot, and he prayed and he asked Jesus into his heart. And I told that crowd, I said, "You know that Friday afternoon when that work truck was going home? And they went off uneven pavement and overcorrected. My friend wasn't wearing his seatbelt. It slung him 30 yards to his death." I said, "Before his head ever hit the asphalt, the nail-scarred hands of Jesus were coming to swoop him up and take him to glory. Because for the believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Folks, that's the most important thing you can ever know. And nobody can answer that question for you. Listen, you may be here tonight and you may say, man, I hope so. Maybe so. 98% sure. Like an old country preacher said one time, hey, listen, I'm not your judge, I'm not your jury. You're never going to stand in front of me, but if you're 98% sure, you're probably 100% lost. Friend, you got to know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. And it can't be a hope so or a maybe so. You got to have that assurance. Right now, I'm just going to ask that everybody just bow your head and close your eyes. No one looking around. You say, preacher, I believe with all my heart God brought me here tonight to be saved. God's revealed to me tonight that I'm not saved. I can't go to that time, that place. I don't want to hope so. I don't want to maybe so. I want to know so. I believe everything you said. Jesus went to the cross for my sin. But tonight I want to make it personal. Tonight I want to ask Him in my life and my heart. Friend, if that's you tonight, I'm going to lead you in what we in the church call a simple sinner's prayer. I want you to clearly understand you're not praying any magic words, but you're just praying to Jesus, meaning business with Jesus in your heart. You say, man, that's my heart's desire. I'm going to pray aloud and you can just pray to Him. Lord Jesus, tonight, the very best way I know how, I'm turning from my sin. Lord, I'm turning to You. Tonight I come believing by faith in the finished work of Calvary, a bloody cross and an empty tomb. And Lord, tonight I just surrender all that I am to You. Thank You, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Right now, all over this room, every head still bowed, every eye still closed, you just prayed that prayer. You said, man, I know the Lord heard me. And I know He saved me. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Lord, thank You for this time. Lord, we know that life is just truly a vapor. Friend, when's the last time you got an old-fashioned altar and just thank God for that wonderful gift of that life that He's given you? What are you doing with that life He's given you? What's in your dash? What's your dash filled in with? Do the people around you know you're a Christian? Do you have joy? Is there evidence? Is there prayer and faith? Tonight you say, preacher, I've just been lacking, and I know I'm saved, but man, I just need a fresh touch from God. Would you just pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up real quick? Amen. Any others? Amen. Any others? Amen. I'm going to ask you right now, if you raised your hand or should have, just to step up right now and just step out and find yourself a place in this old-fashioned altar and just cement that decision with the Lord. Man, I believe this altar ought to be full tonight. Deacons and leaders and people, when's the last time you got on your face before God? You just thanked Him for that life He's given you. Lord, this is Your invitation. Have Your way and have Your will. Right now, as we stand and sing, this altar's open. Won't you come?